You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Here's McCoy breaking a tackle. McCoy into the end zone, and Buffalo wins it. Incredible.
Ed, is the snow game 2017. Bills over the Colts 13-7. LeSean McCoy did everything that day. 32 for 156 and a touchdown. In terms of throwing the ball, they did do a little bit of that.
As a matter of fact, Nathan Peterman throws a touchdown in that game.
He throws a touchdown, yeah.
He throws a touchdown
Calvin
in the game.
Calvin Benjamin, 3 for 38 and a touchdown.
And yet it's not the best throw of the game.
No, it's Webb.
It's Webb.
Joe Webb.
To Deontay Thompson.
I think what's crazy, the lasting legacy of the game was actually how important it was.
Yes, but who could see who it was going to in that game? All you knew is that, okay, a red jersey caught that football.
That's all you got. Deontay Thompson?
Yep.
Yeah. That game will always be funny because I remember I was not at the game. I was watching at home, and I just thought how, like, basically Looney Tunes it was that game was even occurring. And, like, what, the following week it was essentially, no, they really, I mean, we knew going in they needed to win that game. It was very important to a potential playoff run.
Right.
It became vitally important after they'd won it. You're like, Oh, well, thank goodness for LeSean McCoy.
It actually happens that
way. Oh, man. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here talking lasting memories of Highmark Stadium as, for in all likelihood, Sunday will be the final game for the Bills there as they move into their new home starting next year. We promise we get back to your phone calls, and we'll do that right here starting with Gary on the line. Gary, how are we doing?
I'm doing great here in Omaha, Nebraska. Happy holidays.
My Happy holidays.
Hometown, Buffalo, New York. The 1990 AFC Championship game, flying back with my sister from Omaha, my brother flying in from St. Louis, on the connecting flight from Chicago to Buffalo, walking through middle class, there's Bill Walsh. And I stopped, shook his hand, and said, "Hello, coach, going to see our hometown's championship game." He looked at me and said, "I think you'll be all right." Going to the game, waiting for our ride to go to the stadium. It's freezing cold. And I'm telling my brother while we're waiting out in the cold, savor this day. This could be our city's greatest sports day ever. Our first home championship game since the 66 AFL championship game in the Rock Pile when Len Dawson and Mike Garrett got us. And this was our first home championship game since then. The day was cold. The game was easy. And the second half was just one big celebration of a city going to our first Super Bowl and winning on national TV. And 4 days earlier, we had just dropped some bombs and the Gulf War started.
That's right, yes.
At war for the first time since Vietnam. And everything was just one big celebration of our city in that stadium all day long.
Yeah, Gary, thanks for the call. That is right. I always forget about that because then you get to the Super Bowl, of course, and then there is the very iconic national anthem because of that whole situation going around there. 1990 AFC Championship, Sal talked about it as well, the big celebration. Derek, have you ever actually gone back and been able to watch this game, like on YouTube? It is hysterical. Watching the Raiders, like, very clearly have no idea what to do. Like, almost immediately they have – and, of course, we know the score. In all likelihood, of course, they didn't know what to do. But you're just seeing guys, I mean, hands on hips, like, the second drive, and they're like, what is going on here? They keep coming at us. They don't stop. It's incredible to watch. I think Howie Long has, like, a pitcher in his face, eyes wide, and he's just like, again?
Again?
And it's just, it's incredible. Looking at some of the stats, Thurm goes over 100 yards and a touchdown. Kenneth Davis has 3 touchdowns on 10 carries. Kelly goes over 300, 2 touchdowns. The Bills get 6 picks in this game, excuse me. The starter has 5. Just an incredible.
Well, there's a game where they throw 5 interceptions and lose accordingly.
Just a dominating performance. And, you know, as the caller mentioned, by halftime it's a party. It's because it's 41-3. It's just a complete butt whooping. And, I'm not alive for this. It's probably, though, the greatest sports moment in Buffalo history, in modern Buffalo sports history. I don't want to completely exclude the AFL championships. But in modern, Buffalo history, that's probably the moment, is just the euphoric feeling of, we're going to kick the Giants bleep in a minute here. Look at this game. It doesn't happen, but you still have that. And it's at home. It's incredible. I think a lot of people, like, that's the game people were envisioning for this year.
I would imagine that the perfect offensive game probably has something to do with this, too. In a more modernized, less we're actually going to the Super Bowl, because that's what the stakes were that day.
Mm-hmm.
But they smoke New England, put them back down saying, no, you're not ready yet.
Oh, yeah.
And up next is, okay, this team looks different from last year. They are better than last year. One ill-fated divisional game later, but,
Yeah.
In that moment, you're probably thinking, oh, they're good. We're all the way back again. Let's go.
And I like that you brought that point up about the 21 playoffs, because that season was much like this one. Very frustrating. You know, it takes the Tampa overtime loss for many of us to think, ooh, they're back. Here we go. Going into the playoffs, Derek, I'll be completely frank with you. I was like, yeah, they'll beat New England. I don't see anything past this. And then they whooped on New England, and they looked so dominant on offense. And you're just like, oh, okay.
Oh, they could be spicy.
And then, of course, look, they do lose 13 seconds, but there's a reason why most of us still talk about that team like the team that should have won the ring, is because how they even looked in that loss. So, and that's where it kind of is those playoffs. I know it's an entirely different team, different talent on the roster, the whole thing. But it's why I also won't totally shut the door on this season. Of course, they're going to the playoffs. You shouldn't.
Right.
Let's see how the ride ends. But that season is kind of why, like, I won't shut the door entirely, is because going into that playoff, I didn't really expect too much. I kind of was like, all right, they're going to be a little bit of a roller coaster here. 2020 was the high point. We're going to, kind of go back down a little bit to earth. Hopefully 22 is better. And instead it was just, oh, okay, they're a fire hose. Like, here we go. And I'm not saying it could definitely happen this year, but I've seen the stats, what they look like with Dalton Kincaid in the roster and when they don't. And if they're going to play it, like, just, we need you as healthy as possible, perfect. And I also mentioned it on the overtime show. Brandon Cooks. Look, we didn't get a lot of it from the offense, but I was really into the fact that they were able to stretch the field with Cooks against a very talented Eagles defense, pass defense especially, and he didn't even have Dalton Kincaid in the game. So I don't know.
Right.
It's something I've kind of leaned into. I'm glad I've also seen guys like Dan Orlovsky kind of point that out. He did yesterday on One Bills Live of like, hey, it's not everything, but it might be something.
There might be something. There's still some juice left, and we'll see. We'll have to see how it all goes, but obviously, the only difference is that those future memories right now are not going to be in the building.
Yeah. Back to the phones. John is up next. John, how are we doing?
Great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Excellent. Hey, this may seem a little esoteric at this point, but, every single game that I've ever been to at that stadium has just been awesome, and it's just representative of the community that supports this team. And I've been to a few NFL games elsewhere, right? And I've never seen a community back their sports team like Buffalo backs their Bills, right? And it's just been such a great ride in this stadium through all the changes in roster, all the changes, or at least one change in ownership, right? But if I had to pick one game that I was at, and I was sitting almost midfield, was the 93 comeback game against the Oilers. It was just such a huge experience. We were even thinking about going and leaving. We're like, well, wait a minute. We got to stick around for this. And it was just the stadium exploded. And it was absolutely such a great time to be a Bills fan and great time to be in that stadium.
Absolutely, John. Thanks for the call. That is a game I always enjoy when the comeback is brought up, Derek. mainly because, and I've mentioned it about this season, that I think if the Bills were to go on and win the Super Bowl, people would probably change the tune of how they felt for most of the year.
Absolutely, like lying to everybody, including themselves.
And I'm not judging, because how many people do you know that mentioned, I was at 93 and I stayed the entire time? And you're like, statistically, probably didn't.
How many of you are there?
Yeah, how many of you did you lie? And I'm not judging. I think that's funny. I enjoy it.
You've even said on air, if the Bills do win it all this year, you're going to say, I never said any of those things.
Gaslight, gatekeep, grow boss. Let's roll. I'm fine with that. It is what it is. But, you know, I will mention, though, in 93, and the reason why I'm saying this in like kind of like a loving fashion, if I was at that game in 93, I probably would have left at halftime. It is what it is. You know, you're getting blown out. It's cold. I'm going home. I respect a lot of people that really did stay. I know both
get over the line of gaslight, keep girl boss.
There you go. Rules to live by. You got to live by it. But I know both my parents went. They were not together at the time. They end up meeting later. But both of them were like, "Yeah, I left. Of course I did." They were with entirely different groups. Like, "Yeah, I left." My dad was like, "I had the flu. I was out. They weren't winning. I was gone."
Yep. But I also do wonder, though. This day and age, they're not allowed back in.
Right.
That is the other part of it. They are like base coaches rounding third, seeing fans trying to flock back in. They're like, all right, come on, let's go. Something weird's happening. Get back in here if you're actually thinking about it. We're not going to try to stop you. We don't have the manpower, first of all. And second of all, something cool's happening.
This is really cool. Get back in there.
Yeah, something cool's happening. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Get back in here.
And we kind of saw it week one this year, where people were like, wait, what's going on? What's happening? No.
But you're not going to, like, this day and age, you're not going to be allowed back in.
No.
That sort of moment is, it's a one of one.
Yeah. It's a moment, really, from a different age. I mean, you even look at it now. I mean, we mentioned Bills Mafia's created during the drought. Those were games that weren't always getting sold out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for at the time, Rich Stadium, it wasn't always happening. And so, yeah, like it was a different time where, yeah, you get everybody back in here. Nowadays, you're right. I mean, there's no chance at all. 803-0550, again, the number to call. We keep going back to the phones. Bruce is up next. Bruce, how are we doing?
Hey, happy New Year, guys.
You as well.
I'm lucky and blessed enough to have lived through most of what you guys are talking about. Being on the sideline, or not on the sideline, but about 13 rows up and watching Reggie McKenzie point at the Miami Dolphins while the goalposts are going up, and he's got this cat grin all over his face just pointing at him. And, of course, at the Raiders game, I was freezing my rear end off and stayed at that game. But my brother and I did leave at the greatest comeback, and that was a blackout game. It wasn't shown in Buffalo, so we're driving home listening to the radio, and all of a sudden it's like, Canada. Let's go to Canada. The game's on in Canada. So we drove to Canada and watched Norway kick the field goal. But I digress for a moment. If you want to celebrate the stadium, how about driving statisticians absolutely crazy? Since 72, the total number of yards, both offense and what the other team did, total number of pick sixes, both offense against defense, shortest drive, longest drive, all that good stuff, all the total stats since the beginning of the stadium. What do you guys think? I'll hang up and I'll listen.
Bruce, I love that idea. I wonder, though, obviously they've known for a little while this is going to be the last season. I wonder if the Bills been doing something like that. They've got enough employees just to have somebody just keep totaling this up. We get it in the off season and then just keep track of this season. I wonder if they're doing that stuff. I could see there is at least a Bills fan out there that is doing this, that is prepared for on Sunday or whenever the final game is, here are the total numbers. That would scare me. The stadium opens in 73.
Yes.
That would frighten me. Even a stadium opening in like 2000 and closing in 2025, I'd be like,
That's a lot of numbers.
It's a lot of numbers. I'm not a math guy. Get out of here.
Not a math guy.
Give me in 73. Oh, boy. I mean, oh, man. Just – It is, I think it's going to be fun. I was very nervous, Derek, you know, coming into this final game a little bit, you know, just because the buildup to this season was the storybook potential of hosting an AFC championship game and going to a Super Bowl.
Storybook style of doing this. So, like, you've got to be able to close it out with the historical thing. Even if it's only a divisional game, make sure you win it. Mm-hmm. Go out with the win in the playoffs. Treat everyone to it. And I think that's where a little bit of the frustration lies with me this season with them, is that that didn't happen. But the other part of it is something that they could not control. Realistically, a 11 or 12 win team is threatening for a division title. The Patriots played a bunch of nobodies.
And they basically didn't trip outside of like really early in the season when they lose to Vegas, which is what, week one or two?
Week one.
Yeah.
They opened the season losing to Vegas. But then they just rifle off wins, including one against Buffalo that starts a win streak for them that was obnoxious and one that ultimately does them in. I don't know what you do from there. But now it's like, okay, maybe you can climb to the 5 seed. Wacky things can happen in the playoffs, and then you can get back into Highmark Stadium. It's possible. It's doable. Am I banking on it? You said you're not a numbers guy. I'm not either, but the numbers will tell me that's not very likely.
Right, it's not likely.
I know what they're saying to me.
Now, if they're the 5 seed, I think many people have much more in-depth conversations of that, especially if it's Pittsburgh and you're the 5, and then, you know, I don't even know how that could work, but like Houston's at New England, and then you'll have Chargers and Jacksonville. You could sit there, and even now, you can have an honest conversation of, do all 3 road teams win? We could see it. Then it all of a sudden becomes like, oh, okay, maybe we'll get at least one more in here. But if you're the 5, it would take the 6 and the 7 both advancing and one of them and I think you would even have to just be 5 and 7 in an AFC championship. I don't even think it could be 5 and 6. So it would take a lot. But I was worried that people would be very frustrated by it. I'm still somewhat worried that people are going to be agitated if ultimately it comes to fruition that we've talked about with Sal and talked about it, you know, today especially, that most of the starters don't play. Like, yeah, they're wearing the red helmets and that's going to be really cool and that's going to be a nice little send-off for the stadium. But it's ultimately Mitch Trubisky playing a quarterback. No disrespect to Trubisky, but he's not Josh Allen. I mean, to many Bills fans, no matter your age, he is your favorite Bill of all time. I've mentioned a lot. He has sort of, in some ways, kind of saved my fandom with the Bills, where, yeah, I'd be proud to be from Buffalo and I'd be a Bills fan, but I wouldn't be where I'm at now with them. And so I'm still somewhat a little bit nervous to see how the reaction will be if you know, Josh goes out there, takes one snap, hands it off to Cook or whoever it be, and then he's like, all right, give me my hat. I'm out.
Give me my hat. I'm out. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to.
He may not. I don't think he really has much of a choice.
No, he doesn't.
He has taken a beating this year, 40 sacks compared to 14.
Right.
Buddy, get on the bench.
Buddy, get on
the bench. We will see you next week.
And that's going to be a little bit of a sad thing. But, you know, like I said, there's a non-zero path that they could host another game. Right now, though, they're in the lowest seed possible. So it don't look good.
It does not look good. 803-0550, again, the number to call. I want to get your thoughts in on the Bills closing up, in all likelihood, this iteration of Highmark Stadium on Sunday at 425 against the New York Jets. We will also get some Bandits talk coming up in the next segment. Steve Burnell is going to join us for a little bit on that. But we go back to the phones here right before our next timeout. Paul is up next. How are we doing, Paul?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
Good. I just wanted to give you a little bit of perspective on that greatest NFL comeback game and what happened with all the gates and everything. I actually did security for the Bills from 87 till about 2000.
Very nice.
Yeah, and I was on the field for most of the game because I was in charge of all the non-police officer security at the stadium on game day. And what happened in that Houston game was that, if you remember, there was an interception, a pick six at the start of the second half, and people just, at that point, left in droves. And the gates were completely different back then. They were older gates, and you had one turnstile to get a person out. And then at the end of the game, they had a huge swing gate that you would open to let everyone out when the game was over. Well, there were so many people packed in the turnstile gate, I had to call security operations to tell them, open up the swing gates or, you know, you're going to get somebody physically hurt.
Right, we're going to have a problem here.
Yeah. And so they opened up all the swing gates. The people left in droves. Well, they left the swing gates open. So when the Bills started coming back, they came back in droves.
But I love that.
There was no way that anyone was going to stop anyone from getting into the back into the stadium.
That's awesome.
We didn't have one issue after, even with people coming in, not sitting where they were supposed to sit. People were so into the game. It was fantastic.
Yeah, Paul, that's awesome.
That's
Thanks so
awesome.
Much for the
Thank
call.
You for the perspective.
I also love, too, whenever the comeback is brought up, it is how quickly the Bills make it a game.
Yes.
They score 28 points in the third quarter. So going into the fourth, they're only down 35-31, and then they take the lead.
Considering the start of that third quarter is a pick six.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny, though. You're right. It starts the third quarter, interception 35-33. By the end of the third quarter, it's 35-31. It is so sudden, and we see these comebacks all the time, right? I mean, as Bills fans, we are now somewhat used to the insane flip of a switch where you're like, 5 minutes has gone by, how have you scored 21? Like, what is happening? Like, it's become somewhat normal. Even now, though, all these years later, it is still kind of crazy to see just how fast it flipped.
But I love how it was logistical. Mm-hmm. Of, okay, the swing gates so that nobody gets hurt when they're leaving.
Right.
And then, okay, they're not coming back clearly, so we're just going to leave these open for people to get out of here. The opposite happens.
And immediately the opposite happens.
And again, you don't have the personnel to get this done.
No.
Like, we're not rejecting you at that point. That's probably what's going to happen. All right, those things are open. They're staying open now.
It's incredible. 803-0550, the number to call. We're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, Steve Bermel on the Bandits will join us for a quick check-in on them. They finally played another game, another win for them. We'll get a deep dive in on that when we come back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
2-1 Buffalo. They've got the ball again. Nick Weiss takes the shot. He scores! Making a double pack of Weiss's pieces.
Wow! John Gertler on the call, and that's awesome.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Love that, actually.
Big 13-7 win for the Bandits, by the way.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Over Calgary. It took us a while to get to another game. They had a little bit of that holiday break and, you know, kind of ran into the issue of other people were using arenas in the sports world.
Yeah.
Finally got back to it, and the Bandits emphatic win over Calgary.
Emphatic win over Calgary, as it is time now for the Bandits update brought to you by Seneca Gaming and Entertainment. Three great locations, Irving, Salamanca, and Oil Springs. We've got your game. And on the Western Hotline, we've got him back for another week here. It is Steve Bermel as part of the Bandits play-by-play crew. Steve, long time no talk. Hope you had yourself a great Christmas week, and Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, twice in a week. Hope you guys had a great Christmas as well. Looking forward to a very exciting New Year's where we don't leave the house, don't go anywhere. My kids are 6 and 8. They don't even know about New Year's.
There
the whole
go.
Staying up till midnight, not a chance. We'll be in bed at 8:30 or 9 like every other night, and my wife and I will probably fall asleep on the couch watching the New Year's Eve show. So a riveting time here at the Bermel household.
Score. That's what life's all about right there, brother. So Bandits, though, Steve, an emphatic win over Calgary on Sunday. And it was almost a return to form offensively for them in the way that, like, Dane Smith explodes for 9 points here. Josh Byrne has 7 assists and 8 points in the day. It is the usual suspects doing the usual things once again for the Bandits and allowing them to get back into the win column.
Yeah, the game kind of went the way we expected. I remember when I talked last week, we talked about Calgary's goaltending, and I thought Aiden Walsh started out pretty good for them, but then ultimately the Bandits got to him. As you mentioned, the big guns got theirs, which is good to see. Always great to have those guys going, leading the offense. But the Bandits had a lot of success in transition, too. Like, I think their first goal came from Nick Weiss, a 5-hole in transition, and that was maybe the best game the Bandits had in transition, which is interesting because Calgary's kind of known for their youth and speed. We talked about them rebuilding a little bit when I was on with you guys last week as well. But all in all, you can't ask for a better game. They win by a handful of goals. They kind of controlled it wire to wire. the way that I thought the game would kind of go against a team like Calgary, but ultimately it's a game where you don't have any concerns about the way that the Bandits played, right? They did exactly what they were supposed to do. They won in a pretty dominating fashion. You feel good about the win. 9 points for Dane, a bucket full of points for Josh. Everything kind of went to the script. And overall, if you're a Bandits fan or you're the Bandits organization, you got to be pretty satisfied with how that road trip went.
And even then, they tie the game, Calgary does, in the second quarter. But then, right before halftime, it's Clay Scanlon on the power play, gets it done, and Buffalo then retakes a lead that they would never relinquish from there. Steve, I saw something about Calgary's head coach got a little spicy after the game of, like, really not loving his team's performance and kind of called it out publicly. Did you see that one?
Excuse me. Well, yeah, they need something to get them going, right? They're off to a slow start. I don't think he would admit that they're in the same position that other people on the outside might. We talked about their struggles in goal. We talked about them kind of rebuilding. You know, they lost their two best offensive weapons, one to retirement, one to Vancouver. So, you know, I'm not surprised that he's trying to do something to get a spark. I'm sure that they're not happy with the way things are going. But, you know, for those of us on the outside, it kind of feels like what you might have expected from them this year. We kind of figured it would be a rebuilding year for Calgary. But, you know, whatever he can do to get them motivated, obviously Calgary's had some success. Even fairly recently, right? You know, last year made an okay run, beat the Bandits in the championship 6 years ago. So the Roughnecks have kind of a storied history that they would want to get back to. I also love that you mentioned Clay Scanlon. For those that don't know, kind of put into a bigger role on the left side offense with Kluche leaving for Vegas. And I thought it was his best game, not even just the scoring. For those that know the way Kyle Buchanan plays, you know, kind of call him a water bug. It's a big compliment about how quick he plays, how he's always aggressive on loose balls, a small guy that's super shifty and has a high motor. Well, now Scanlon is very similar to that play style on the left side of the offense. And you watch him go into the corner or get in front of the net and scoop a loose ball and give the offense a second chance. So not only did he have that type of game where he was scrappy, you know, winning battles and coming up with loose balls, but he found the score sheet a couple of times too. But he's a great player, and I'm glad to see him finding that kind of success, because he deserves it with the way that he plays and kind of how hard he works. I guess, you know, for not to compare lacrosse to hockey, but very similar to Zach Benson, right? Like a smaller guy, plays scrappy game, and you love to see, just like when Benson scored last weekend, you love to see a player like that get rewarded with stats on the sheet. So Clay Scanlon deserves a shout-out.
Steve, you also mentioned Las Vegas there. We'll get to them in here in just a moment as the Bandits are going to be taking them on Saturday. One thing I did want to touch on, though, from this game against Calgary, as me and Derek have been doing this week, or these weekly segments, one thing that was kind of not the best, I guess, to start the season was the power play. And they only had two shots at it on against Calgary, but going 2-for-2 and really just dominating the game, it's got to be a nice sign as now we're getting into more regular play here.
For sure. I think against Halifax, they went 3-for-5. But Josh Byrne said after the game, it didn't feel like they were good on the power play. And I believe they had a 5-minute power play against Halifax and didn't score. I might be wrong there. But they definitely had a 5-minute against Georgia and didn't score until after it was over. So there were some frustrations with the power play, especially with how loaded they are on offense. They want to be performing at a high clip. And it's good when you have a game that you lose. One of the things that gets pointed out is that we didn't feel like our power play was very good. And then you have such a good night on the power play the next game. It kind of goes back to what I said. The script that the Bandits would have wanted for this game is almost exactly what happened. It was a get-right game for them after a loss against a team that they should have kind of beat up on a little bit, and they kind of did do that. So, of course, you know, the power plays, special teams are big in any sport, and, you know, being 100% on the power play would be exactly what the doctor ordered. So good to hear and good to see that they kind of got that figured out going forward, because they're going to need the power play, just like in any sport. You're going to need to take advantage of those situations when they arise.
Steve Brumell on the Wester Hotline as we are getting our Bandits update going on here. Steve, we mentioned it, Las Vegas coming to town in a couple of days here over the weekend, and Tucker Outland phone night, as that is also a big deal. It's a big deal for the return for a couple of former Bandits, but also Tucker Outland phone night.
Yeah, the GM and head coach for the Las Vegas Desert Dogs is Sean Williams. Tucker out lymphoma. Tucker is his son, who passed away at 8 years old with Burkitt's lymphoma. So the Bandits have been doing a great job. You know, one of the fondest memories I have of the Bandits is the night where Tucker was at the game. So he was, you know, he was in a spot in his treatment where he was allowed to come out and be in public, and they put him up in a suite and they put him on the camera and the crowd went absolutely nuts. well, just one of the fondest memories I have of all the years I've been going to Bandits games. And obviously a terrible loss to lose an eight-year-old kid, but the way that the lacrosse community comes together is incredible. And it's awesome that they're able to do it when Sean is here. And Vegas has adopted their own version of Tucker Out Lymphoma Night since Sean has gone out there. So there's multiple observances or celebrations, whatever you want to say, of Tucker's life, but also of raising awareness for pediatric cancer and raising money for Sick Kids Hospital and other pediatric cancer causes. So the Bandits do an amazing job with it. They kind of got the ball rolling, but it's crazy because if you talk to any of these players, no matter where they play now, they all grew up playing together, right? They all know each other from playing junior lacrosse together and growing up together. So the lacrosse community is super close-knit, and they always come together for this cause with Tucker Out Lymphoma Night. So you'll definitely want to be there in Buffalo for Tucker Out Lymphoma Night on Saturday.
Speaking of that, I'm glad you mentioned the wrinkle that Las Vegas does with this, because for the second year in a row, Buffalo, Las Vegas, and the Oshawa Firewolves, they will be carrying out with the Tucker Out Lymphoma Cup. So it is something that they've adopted in their own way to keep it going, but also it involves more clubs now, as obviously Vegas has Sean Williams as the coach and GM. He played in Buffalo, and Oshawa is also tied into it now as well, where they can continue this sort of thing and maybe even continue to make it bigger as the years go on.
Yeah, Oshawa tied in because Dyson Williams, Tucker's older brother,
yep,
plays for that club. So the Bandits won that cup last year. I think they were perfect in the teams that were involved in it. They won all those games. So that is, it's like a mini in-season tournament, if you will, between those teams. Just another way to honor the cause and to bring awareness to it. The cup was in Buffalo the night that they won it. I believe that the night that the Bandits won the Tucker Out Lymphoma Cup, either team could have won it, depending on who won that game, the way that the standings worked out. So that ended up being pretty cool. But just amazing to see awareness brought to such a worthy cause. And, you know, it hits home for so many of the guys, both on Buffalo and on the Vegas team, but also the whole lacrosse community. So just, it's an amazing honor. As silly as it is, as stupid as it is, I have a pin that I wear on my coat for every game with the T51 for Tucker. It's so important to the lacrosse community, and it's a great cause to, like I said, observe, celebrate, whatever you want to talk about, to celebrate the awesome life that Tucker led and the inspiration that he was, but then also to raise awareness for such a worthy cause.
Should be a wonderful night. The Bandits hosting the Desert Dogs on Saturday, 7 p.m. On the Las Vegas team, though, Steve, what should Bandit fans be expecting?
So here's what's interesting. Vegas came out this year and got mollywopped by Vancouver. They scored a few late goals to make it a little bit closer on the scoreboard, but they did not play well and kind of got rinsed a little bit by the Warriors. And that night, I believe Fraser was like a last-second scratch. So Chase Fraser injured in warm-ups and ended up not playing in that game. And now the last two games, they've played pretty well. They won 10-9 two games ago, and I think their last game was like 17-11. Over Toronto. They kind of whitewashed them a little bit. They chased Nick Rose and Holichuk came in, and there was, you know, the Rock couldn't find an answer. Both goaltenders give up eight goals in that game, but Vegas was hot as a pistol on offense, and they'll come in as a pretty high-powered offense. Bandits fans will remember Mitch Jones leading the way for Vegas. I think he had 9 points in that game last week when they scored 17. So Mitch Jones, Chase Fraser, and Chris Kluche. I think Fraser's still a little banged up. I don't know if he's going to play or not. It seems like he probably will play, especially because he played last week for them. But Fraser, I don't think, is 100%. So hopefully he's recovering well and getting healthy. But this is a high-powered offense that, you know, Vegas is 2-1 after that game against Vancouver where they kind of struggled. Goaltending is a kind of a question mark for them as well. They had former Bandit Alex Bouquet come into the game against Vancouver and play pretty well. But their starter, Landon Cowles, struggled a little bit. They drafted Caleb Kahn, this young, like, phenom goaltender, who right now is still on the practice squad. But there's a whole lot of thought out there that Vegas could kind of turn to him at some point this season, especially if more games would have went the way the first one went. But now, after back-to-back wins where they give up 9 and 11 goals respectively, maybe they just kind of let Kahn marinate, you know, on the practice squad. But goaltending, I think, would be the biggest question mark for Vegas. But their offense, man, just a potent group.
Steve, it's going to be an interesting one. It should be a raucous crowd there on Saturday night as well in Banditland. And also, it's been a while since we've had that opportunity to host the fans and the Buffalo faithful there. So that one should be a great, fantastic game. Again, in addition with Tucker out lymphoma night there. Steve, thanks for coming on once again, and I hope you can max and relax for your New Year's Eve.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you guys. Go Sabres, go Bandits, go Bills.
That's Steve Rommel there on the West Hur Hotline as the Bandits update is brought to you by Seneca Gaming and Entertainment, three great locations in Irving, Salamanca, and Oil Springs. We've got your game.
Real quick on hockey. We already mentioned Sabres at the Dallas Stars
tonight.
We
have not talked enough about them today, and it kind of makes me a little jumpy.
Well, it's all right. 8 p.m. tonight, 7 p.m. pregame. Something to keep an eye on, though. Canada's Canada's Olympic roster is being, I think, unveiled on TSN like as we speak. So we'll see if we can get that before the end of the show. The U.S. roster, I think, is also being unveiled today. Something to keep an eye on. Obviously, of course, with the Sabres, Tage Thompson, we'll see if he makes the roster and stuff like that. Jason Robertson, though. The forward for Dallas, who is top five in basically any meaningful statistic.
God. He's going to be he'll be playing so PO if he doesn't get in, and we have to deal with that.
Among U.S.-born forwards this season, he is second in goals, tied fifth in assists, second in points. In terms of plus-minus, he is second. Power play goals, he is tied first, and power play assists, he is tied third. Again, this is among U.S.-born forwards this season. Stunning if he's left off the roster. And I'm really hoping he's on it, both as an American and also I want to see the Sabres get to 10, and I don't want him playing pissed off. I really, really don't. We'll take a quick time out here. We'll get you ready. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a New Year's Eve edition here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Didn't mention yet, college basketball. Today as well. UB is taking on Northern Illinois. That game had to get moved due to the weather that is expected today. I think it was initially supposed to go on yesterday, got moved to today. 1 p.m. tip-off at Northern Illinois. That game's going to be over on the Bet 1520. Should also mention, though, UB is already 1-0 in the MAC. They had kind of like a weird end of their non-conference where they had a conference game.
There was one conference game.
Then they wrapped up the non-conference. And also with that being said, so of course they're 1-0 in conference play. They're 11-2. Only behind Miami of Ohio in the MAC right now in terms of overall wins. Miami of Ohio did go 12-0, in their non-conference schedule. They're now 2-0 to start the conference play. They didn't really play anybody. They did not really play anybody, but that did in fact happen. And then, as we mentioned, with college football, Cotton Bowl. It's been a little while since the college football playoffs been on, with the Christmas break essentially kind of being the bridge there.
And it's the first time we see Ohio State in the playoffs.
I think Ohio State's going to kill Miami. I think they're going to kill them.
What do you mean? The lowest scoring game of the college football playoff winner is going to face Ohio State? Everything's going to be fine.
It's going to be just totally
I don't know
fine.
What you're talking about.
And then tomorrow's the really fun games. Oregon-Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl at noon. Alabama-Indiana, the Rose Bowl, that's at 4. And the Sugar Bowl, Mississippi-Georgia at 8 o'clock. I actually really like that entire bracket right there. Miami and Ohio State, I think, is going to be the only game where I'm seriously like, this is going to be a blowout. We saw Georgia and Mississippi earlier this year in the SEC. That was a very close game. I know Lane Kiffin's not there, but most of the players are still all there. Oregon, Texas Tech kind of feels like a game of two teams that are maybe a year or two out. Tech with all the oil money they have and might be the big dogs in the Big 12. Oregon, just the sheer fact that they've had to turn over last year's roster. And Alabama, Indiana, baby. Blue blood versus new blood. What do we got cooking there? Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun. Cannot wait for that. And, of course, it's New Year's Day, bowl game action. These are the bowl games I really like.
These are the bowl games that are here for. And everyone's, even before the playoff really expanded, it was the New Year's Six.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And this is pretty much where we're at with that.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's now, instead of it being the New Year's Six, they are replaced by being playoff games now.
Also,
by the way, yesterday,
hot take maybe, I think every national championship game should be played at the Rose Bowl. Sorry, continue.
All right, so to go back to the Sabres real quick, as we're a minute away from the end of our show here, Lindy Ruff saying that yesterday Alex Lyon is being evaluated for lower body injury. I wonder when that could have happened. Colton Ellis could be ready to come off of injured reserve if Lyon is not available after evaluation. We'll see what happens, but it looks like Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is going to get the start regardless tonight then.
You were mentioning, though, yesterday.
Lukanen has a 1-3 record against Dallas, but has allowed only 10 goals in the four games. Get the man some goal support, because he's doing well against the Stars.
Get him some goal support. This, though, is one of the best teams in the West. It is frustrating. No one in the East around the Sabres is starting to drop games. They are just kind of lingering
Everyone's
all together.
Winning.
And we mentioned it before this game came up. Like, if you beat St. Louis, the Dallas game doesn't have that feel of, like, must win. I mean, you want to for the 10 straight, but this is going to be one of their toughest challenges to this point. And we mentioned Jason Robertson may not make Team USA, and I have no idea how he's going to play with that. We'll find out about Team USA and their Olympic roster and Canada's as well. Sabres live coming up next. You're listening to WGR.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.